The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on the Memorial Day weekend edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We look back at the draft, what picks have paid off, which picks have busted. We're going to visit with Eric Katz, writer for bellyupsports.com, to talk about MLB trade possibilities and the ever-popular ads and drops segment. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball!
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky, Belly Up Fantasy Sports, and Mahler Bros Golf. I'm your host, Vince Stover, and I am joined by the senior fantasy baseball writer for bellyupfantasysports.com, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and as you can see, I am not at work, not coming home from work, so I'm enjoying this weekend, and, you know, you mentioned it, it's Memorial Day weekend, so just a shout out to all those that gave their lives so that we could sit here and talk about whatever we want to talk about freely. We have freedom. So that's what Memorial Day weekend's all about.
Yeah. We want to say thank you to the families of those
who gave the people that are left that have to deal with all that. So yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's a weekend that we get to enjoy, no doubt about it, but it's on the backs of the sacrifice of others. So we think of those families, friends who lost loved ones in service, and we appreciate you all, and we hope that you can find some comfort this weekend, even in the good memories of those that you lost. We are a fantasy baseball show, of course, and so we'll spend the rest of the time talking baseball, but we do want
to say
hello to our live viewers watching on the Sports Stove YouTube page and those watching on the Belly Up Fantasy Facebook page, and all those listening later on the podcast, found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Kevin, before we get into anything, I just want to say I'm kicking myself. Me and you are playing each other in fantasy baseball.
That's right. And yes,
I came into the day down
way behind.
367 points to 222 points. I'm currently 30 points down. I was 145 points down coming into the day. I was going to add a couple pitchers, and I was like, what's the point? And now I'm sitting here 30 points down, and I got two guys left to play. I thought, oh, my goodness, I may have blown this here. I had an opportunity. I've had an incredible day, and you have had a horrible day.
It's the worst day I have ever had, ever. And fantasy baseball. And so I kind of was on the opposite end of that because I'm like, okay, so I'm way out in front. I don't want to blow the doors off. You know, there's no reason for that. So I made a move where I could add a starting pitcher for next week, right, and not today. As a matter of fact, I had a guy that I could have started today, but I dropped him.
Yeah.
And so then I look and I'm like, what is happening right now? So I was prepared to come on here and say all kinds of, you know, Vince, you know, it's too bad that I left you in my dust and that sort of stuff. But seeing as how, like, I'm barely going to squeak by, I will keep those comments to myself.
Hey, I was going to say, I take it kind of as a win. I mean, being down 140 points and coming back, and now you got Strider pitching tonight.
I've never heard of that before. Never.
Yeah, you got Strider pitching. You're going to be fine. You had a Perez on the bench, gave you 17 off the bench today. Which doesn't
see, that's why that's another move. I would, okay, he's on my bench, I'll leave him there, you know. So for all you youngsters out there that are playing or thinking to yourselves, hey, I've got this in the bag, don't ever think that until the final
bell. Finish strong. So I've scored 106 fantasy points today. You've currently scored minus 7 fantasy points. And that's because Strider's pitching. You were at minus 13 earlier. Strider's pulling you out of the negatives. And you should be fine. You should be fine with that, considering the Braves were up 7-2 midway through the third inning.
They put 7 runs on them in the first.
That's crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. So anyways, you're still going to beat me. You're still going to be up there at the top of our league.
I got to give a shout out to your dad, Vince.
Yeah.
Got to do it because every single week I've noticed that, you know, he gives a little ray of hope to those that he's playing. You're talking about going into the final day, you know, and somebody's, you know, even I was right. I think I was leading him by 5 points going into Sunday. And all of a sudden he just, you know, kind of like, you know, rock you like a hurricane. He throws down the gauntlet and you have nowhere to go but destruction. And he winds up going away. So hats off to him. That's all you can say about it.
He's been incredibly sniffing 400 points again this week. He's had a great, great fantasy year. Now, in another league, I'm playing my dad right now. It's a categories league, and I was down. I was down 3-12, and now we're tied 8-8 currently, and 8-8-0 in category league right now. So I come back there, which I'll talk to him about tomorrow. But
absolutely.
But nonetheless, that league he's not doing as hot in, but. That's okay. He's doing good in our league. At the end of the day, this is the only league that gets publicly put out for the whole world to hear. So
that's right. So no one else's league matters one iota except this one.
All right, let's get into our first segment of the day. We'll try to make it a quick one, the Fantasy Burner segment. Our Fantasy Burner segment today is presented by Mahler Bros Golf. We all want to look good on the golf course. But it oftentimes comes at the expense of feeling good, and Mahler Bros Golf has polos that look good and feel good on a hot summer day on the golf course. There's no polo you'd rather have to wear than Mahler Bros Golf. They have loud designs as well as subtle and sleek-looking designs. They also have T-shirts, hats, tumblers, and so much more. So check out MahlerBros.com. That's MahlerBros, MahlerBros.com. Use code BELLYUP. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. And with it being Memorial Day weekend, I thought we should take some time to look back at our draft and talk about just a couple of the players that we drafted and the ones that we are excited about still that we thought, man, I landed that one well. One that we feel, man, I should have passed on that guy. And then possibly somebody that you drafted that hasn't worked out yet, but you're kind of still holding out hope on. So let's start with the player that paid off, the one that you think, man, that one I hit on. Who's that for you on your team? Oh, Kevin's frozen. This has happened sometimes when you're in a different place than normal. We'll see if we can get Kevin back on. I'm going to take him off for a second, see if he pops back on in a second. So I'll start with mine, and then we'll go from there when Kevin gets back. Adley Rutschman, I picked him pick number 71, first pick of the 8th round, and I was not planning on picking him. There's Kevin again. Got him back. Hey, Kev, welcome back. So I was just saying that the player that I picked that I think has paid off for me so far is Adley Rutschman. Pick number 71 in our draft. He's the leading catcher so far this year with 137 points. He's 25th overall. He's 25th overall as well. ADP, ESPN leagues had him at 52. I got him at 71. Fantasy Pros Consensus has him at 68. So I got him a little later. Like I said, I wasn't planning on drafting him. I thought I was going to wait on catcher, but he kept sitting there, and I thought, nah, I'm going to take him, and I'm glad that I did. Top catcher in fantasy baseball. Really close with Will Smith. Will Smith's had a really good year also as catchers go. But I'm glad I went with Rutschman versus holding off to get a Contreras brother or even taking JT Realmuto above him.
That's a solid pick. And you've been on him before he even made the major leagues, I remember, from last year. So you've got every reason to crow about that. So – good. That's a good call.
Who's the player that you think has paid off for you?
Well, the player that I'm going to mention is the guy that you were on even more than myself, and that's Mookie Betts.
Oh, yeah.
And I took him number 7 overall, and you said right at the time I took him, hey, he's going to add second base, you know, eligibility. And I was like, well, I don't know if the Dodgers are going to do that. Well, guess what? That's a fact what they did. And so now he's got second base and he's got outfield eligibility. He has not been Mookie Betts.
True.
of old. But as right now, he's hitting 250 coming into today, 11 homers, 31 RBIs, 39 runs scored. But he is the number two ranked player. So he must be doing something right. And then when you add in that second base eligibility, that's going to take all kinds of value attached to him, because as we talked, second base was a shallow position. It still is. And so now that I can slide him into that second base slot and still have outfielders is a huge, huge thing for me.
Definitely.
So, you know, I want to give you as much credit as anyone because, you know, you called it.
To me, he was a top five pick because he was going to get that second base eligibility. The moment I heard he was going to play second base, I thought, oh my goodness, I got to get him. And I didn't get him in any of the leagues that I'm in. So I ended up with decent second baseman in minor leagues, but did not get him. And I think that's going to pay off, especially as the year rolls on. He'll continue to be what he needs to be. I love that one for sure. My bust pick is, it's not a legit bust as in he's not on my team anymore, but for the value, I think I should have went a different direction. That was my first pick in the second round. I had the turn, the 10-11 pick, and I went with Aaron Nola from Philadelphia. He's supposed to be an ace, and he's done fine in a points league especially. He's still putting up some points. He's got 164 overall. He's 26th in pitching. But I have four pitchers on my roster that were waiver claims that have scored as much or within 2 points of Nola. I picked up Justin Steele off of waivers from 4-4. I picked up Bryce Elder off of waivers on 4-9. Dan D'Amico dropped Zach Eflin May 5th. I picked him up. And Nick Macaronis dropped Merrill Kelly on April 30th. I picked him up. All four of those guys have scored more or close to the same points as Aaron Nola. I threw the number 11 overall pick on him. And I'm just going, man, I think I should have went a different direction at 11 and just counted on getting some of these pitchers later on.
Yep. So my bust is fairly easy to call. And that came shortly after you made your selection. And, of course, I'm talking about Manny Machado.
Oh, boy.
I took him, right? And right now he is the 30th ranked third baseman. Mm. And we all know he is currently on the IL.
Yeah.
He wasn't hitting when he was on the field. He was complaining more than he was hitting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for a second round pick, he has 5 home runs, 19 RBIs, and .231 batting average. Mm-hmm. That's not what you were looking for out of a second round pick. And so I guess they're saying he might be back this week. And so he needs to pick that up big time because, come on, Manny.
It's
the whole San Diego Padres, you could talk about all of those guys. They all need to pick it up because they are not playing well.
I'm holding out hope. This is my holdout hope pick for Trey Turner. I picked him number 10, right above Aaron Nola. And I really feel like come fantasy playoff time, Trey Turner is going to be raking. I'm not too worried about it. But he's only scored 88 fantasy points so far this year, which is not good. It's not worthy of a top 10 pick. But like I said, Philadelphia is one of these teams. They're going to come on as the season goes on. It might be too little too late for them as far as playoffs go. But I think they're going to start hitting the ball. I'm putting my trust in him. I picked up Schwarber in a league because someone dropped him. I'm trusting the Phillies are going to figure something out. And fantasy-wise, it's going to help me out. So Trey Turner, I'm disappointed, yes, but I'm more disappointed in Nola because he was supposed to be an ace, and he hasn't been, than I am Trey Turner, even though Nola's got more points for me than Turner. But yeah. I'm not too worried about it. Man, I got a number of guys that I could go off on that kind of stuff. But I'll leave it at that because we have a guest waiting. So who's the guy
The guy that I'm waiting on, that I'm holding out hope for, is another third baseman. And I don't know why, what possessed me to do that, but because I took Austin Riley later on in the draft. I did that because he's Austin Riley. I'm like, wait a second, he's still available. So I picked him. He hit a home run in the first inning today. But aside from that, he's got 9 home runs coming into today with 26 RBIs, and he's .264. That's not what you're looking for out of Austin Riley whatsoever. And you got to think that he's going to heat up just like, you know, he's on the Braves. He's got an awesome lineup around him, as we saw, or, you know, 7 runs in the first inning. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly hoping that Austin Riley puts it together. So then I'll have the best 2 third basemen coming down the stretch that you could possibly have asked for.
That's right. So, and this is going to be a good week for Austin Riley. We'll talk about that more in our ads and drops segment coming up as
okay.
All right, that's our Fantasy Burner segment presented by Mahler Bros Golf. Make sure you go to MahlerBros.com. Use code BELLYUP when you check out. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. It's time now for our guest segment we call the Call to the Pin. Our Call to the Pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. If you want the purest jerky in the game, you got to go straight to the source. And Righteous Felon has partnered with the best natural black Angus beef producers in the land to lock up supply and guarantee the best tasting, best textured, and freshest beef jerky on the market. Visit RighteousFelon.com. Use the same promo code BELLYUP. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Again, it's RighteousFelon.com, code BELLYUP. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. And joining us now for the second time on the show is the one and only Eric Kratz from BellyUpSports.com. Oops, so sorry, I pushed the wrong button. There you are. Eric Kratz, back with us here. I always get the old brewer catcher mixed in there. I apologize. Eric, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Yeah, definitely. So Eric's writing lots of baseball stuff on BellyUpSports.com. He recently came out with an article about the Baltimore Orioles possibly acquiring a pitcher, specifically Eduardo Rodriguez. And then he's also got an article coming out tomorrow, probably about Cincinnati Reds, Joey Votto. So plenty of stuff coming out there for Eric right now. And I wanted to bring Eric on to talk about some trade ideas and possibilities, because there are teams right now that are struggling and are going to be sellers. There are teams that are trying to make a run at things that are going to be buyers. So let's start with that topic, Eric. Who do you see as being the biggest sellers and the biggest buyers this year in the Major League Baseball?
I think one team that will be a big seller is the Chicago White Sox. Clearly, it whatever thing they did to rebuild, which on paper it was pretty good, it just didn't work out. I think you're going to see Tim Anderson on the block. I know Tim Anderson, he hasn't really said it explicitly, but you could tell just by his body language, he's not loving it. Same with Lucas Giolito is going to be out there. I think depending on how Liam Hendricks is, given that, you know, he was out for a while with battling cancer, unfortunately. I know he was a guy before all that happened that was going to be rumored to be a guy that they were going to try and deal somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think the Tigers are going to be a seller. I think the Colorado Rockies, which seems like every year they have a yard sale.
Let's talk about the Tigers for a minute, because the Tigers are having some success, right? They're having a much better season than I anticipated, for sure. Well,
yeah, they're just a game. Was it a game back entering today? That's because Minnesota is like one game over 500.
Yep, they're a game under 500. They're a game back from Minnesota. So they're having this run that we saw Pittsburgh have also earlier this year. Why is it in Major League Baseball that when someone actually does decent, they're like, we got to get rid of all of our players? what is it about the Tigers that makes you think they're going to go all in and sell versus trying to make a run at the AL Central?
Well, the Illich son that owns the team now is not his father. Yeah. His father would dump money at guys like Dontrelle Willis or Miguel Cabrera and Edgar Renteria, things like that. He would drop money on these guys, but the son is opting not to do that. He's opting to kind of build within, and then I'll spend a little bit like he did with the free swinging Javi Baez.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is like, unless they're like in first place, like they know they're going to lose a lot of these guys at the end of the year.
True.
So they should capitalize on it now. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. It's just, you know, how they do business. I think the perfect landing spot for, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, for instance, I know Jonathan Scope's going to be a guy that they're going to be looking to deal somewhere, because I know his values, you know, he's not a great player, not an all-star player, but a good player to have in your lineup. He plays second base, which, you know, some teams are looking for that. It's such a complicated position. where you don't know whether the guy's really good or really isn't, but Jonathan Scope has power, which is something you need in order to win. I think Baltimore would be perfect for Eduardo Rodriguez. They're starting pitching, like they're winning because they got a great bullpen, you know, especially Felix Bautista. I saw his arm. It looks like he's barely even touching his two-seamer, and he whips that thing in there 100-plus miles an hour. Same with Yainer Cano, who's come out of nowhere, who'd be a closer on any other team. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Rodriguez would be a great guy to have atop of the lineup. He has that opt-out clause. That's something to remember. He does have an opt-out clause, but I think if the Orioles are smart, and Mike Elias in the front office clearly have handled this rebuild the right way, if they're smart, they're going to try and extend him because that's a guy you can build around. That's a guy who's been, you know, who's clearly back to being, you know, the Boston Red Sox Eduardo Rodriguez. And I think he'd just be a perfect guy to build at the top. He knows the AL East. He knows, more importantly, he knows how to win because right now nobody on this team – you know, nobody on this team will really know. I mean, yeah, they're doing well in the regular season, but nobody on this team will really know how to handle the postseason. Rodriguez has been there. Rodriguez was part of that string of AL East titles. He also was on that team that won the 2018 World Series, the Boston Red Sox last to date.
What can the Tigers get for Rodriguez, though? Because it's one thing to say, well, yeah, he's a great fit. I want to see him in Milwaukee. But to say, yeah, he's a great fit in Baltimore. He's a great fit in a lot of places. He can step in and be a number two guy or a number three guy on pretty much any roster right now. Is he enough of a player where it's going to be worth it to Detroit to trade him?
I think so. I mean, let's be honest. He's going to opt out no matter where he goes, no matter if it's Milwaukee, he's definitely not going to be kept for he's definitely not going to be kept. I think, you know, with Baltimore, you know, Baltimore has the farm to do it. Because of the opt-out, the value of the deal that the Tigers are going to receive isn't going to be as high as to say if he didn't have an opt-out. If he didn't have an opt-out with how he's pitching this year, they would be able to command a top three prospect. Yeah. But because of that, I think they're probably going to fall top five at best, which I know what, you know, Scott Harris is going to gun for, but it'll probably end up being like top five, top eight prospect, you know, probably top 10 at the worst because of how well he's doing and because of that opt-out clause. But Baltimore has a lot of money to spend. They got a lot of money they haven't spent, which, you know, to quote Rick Hahn in Chicago, which his words came back to bite him, the money will be spent.
And Baltimore's right there, four games back in Tampa. They've got a great record this year as well, 34-19 as we're doing this show. So that's definitely there. Tim Anderson, you mentioned earlier as well. And Kevin, I think Tim Anderson is a great fit for a lot of places. I think you put Tim Anderson in a different uniform and he wakes back up again. It's been a rough go for it, but let's face it, the last couple of years for the White Sox have been a rough go all the way around. So, Kevin, yeah. I'll give you your
ever quick. Since he made that statement, it has not gone well for him. So maybe he could like wash his mouth out a little bit or something. And so maybe he could turn things around a little bit that way.
Yeah. Eric, where does Tim Anderson fit in the trade picture?
As a shortstop, he can go to a lot of different places. As a shortstop, you don't necessarily have to have him play shortstop, for example.
Sure.
I think, you know, I could see Milwaukee making a move at him because I think they need another bat. I think
they need their shortstops to stop getting hit while they're sitting in the dugout would be extraordinarily helpful.
They could easily flip Anderson over to second because, you know, yeah, Bryce Terang is there, but right now, aside from the speed, Bryce Terang bat hasn't really woken up aside from on opening day when he had that crazy grand slam. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be terrific over there. I think, you know, I'm gonna go with a surprise team. It's gonna depend on where they are, and I'm gonna say the Giants. So right now, the Giants, they're as an organization, they're where you don't want to be, which is the middle.
Right, that's right. They're in the dreaded middle.
Because you're either a contender, you could be a contender, meaning you could have a shot at going to the playoffs, and you know whatever happens, because we know how crazy the playoffs are, or you start to accept saying, hey, we gotta redo this. So it's a really tough situation for San Francisco because they could easily be on the phone with other GMs and the other GMs are going to be like, I'm surprised you're calling. Or they could be, you know, or they could be the one receiving the calls being like, I'm surprised you're not calling. So, you know, I think Anderson would be terrific there because San Francisco needs help offensively. They're not great offensively. And I think, you know, you can place him there. You know, he'd be able to take over right away and he'd at least be able to kind of jumpstart the lineup a little bit.
I like a fit for Tim Anderson being the Dodgers. I don't think the price will be too high. They laid low in this offseason, preparing for the next offseason. And to me, that would be an awesome fit for Tim Anderson to go
out with. That's why they've had Mookie also playing shortstop.
Right.
So,
yeah, because
so they could make that move and, you know, like I said, wash his mouth out because you're not Jackie Robinson. Okay.
Yeah. I vaguely recall that. And then he decides to get into it with Josh Donaldson because Josh Donaldson called him Jackie.
Yeah.
I was actually at the stupidest,
you know, on-field incidents that I have ever seen.
I was actually at that game.
Oh, nice.
That's a nice little thing to drop right there.
Yes, he did. Aaron Judge also hit his, I think, 12th home run that same game. 12 of 61, 12 of 62. Little did I know.
Little did you know. Let's talk about the big ticket item, Shohei Ohtani. I've said from the get-go, I think the Angels do everything they can to keep him. I don't think they trade him. I think they've already had enough conversations with them. They can't lose them for nothing, obviously. They're going to lose them. They got to make sure they get something because they can get a haul in return. I think he stays with the Angels personally, but I'm not friends with Shohei, so I've not asked him. I don't know what he's thinking. what percentage would you put on it that Shohei Ohtani gets traded this season?
That's a very precarious one because – Number one, Artie Moreno said, say what you will about the guy, but the guy published a statement this past offseason saying, we want to keep the guy. Number one, what else was he going to say?
Right.
What, we're going to trade the guy? I mean, that's kind of a downdraft, you know. Number two, you know, on the other hand, the Angels got nothing coming up in their farm system. They got nothing.
Their farm system's in Salt Lake City. Trust me, I know they've got nothing.
And so, oh boy, this one's hard. I know the Angels want to keep him.
Of course they do. Anybody would.
I personally, if I'm the Angels, I mean, depending on where they are come August, you know, come August 1, where the trade deadline is, or, you know, July 31, depending on where they decide to trade him. I would personally move him because let's face it, Ohtani doesn't want to be locked into a nasty contract that Mike Trout is for a team that hasn't gone anywhere. And he's going to want like to have whoever signs him is going to try and extend him. And he's going to want opt outs because he wants to be able to move around a little bit. And if the situation's not great, okay. Cause he ultimately wants to win. I know he hasn't really say a whole lot to the media. But nothing like that would like make your nothing that would light up your eyes. But to be truthful, if I'm the Angels, you gotta actually build something. You can't just pluck guys off the market because otherwise you're gonna just be winning 70-ish games every year.
Now, what if you move Mike Trout instead of Ohtani? You still get stuff back. Surely there's some teams that would take Mike Trout. So you move him, you get some stuff back for Trout. You keep Ohtani, who's given you production both from the mound and from the plate versus Trout, who's giving you production as a defender. He's giving you production at the plate, but he's also has an injury history as well. And again, he carries a lot of value. So maybe you can send him to Philadelphia, his hometown. Maybe you can send him somewhere and get a decent haul in return and then start building around Ohtani. Because I think it makes more sense to build around Ohtani than it does Trout at this point and where they are.
Yeah, because Trout looks, it's definitely not fun being there. I think he just signed the deal. I think he signed the deal personally, not just for the security, but he just wanted to hide from being the face of baseball. I think, you know, that deal is going to be complicated because of the money and the years involved. It's right. probably going to, the deal itself.
Doesn't he have a full trade clause as well?
Yeah, everybody gets a no trade clause these days. These things used to be sacred. Now everybody who signs is granted one. It's pretty much it's like they're giving it away like the dollar hot dog on the corner. I think in order to trade Trout, I think MLBPA is going to have to get involved. I think it's going to be something probably more complicated than when Alex Rodriguez was traded to the Yankees after he left Texas, where, you know, and then and now MLBPA, even though if Trout's going to volunteer to leave money on the table, MLBPA is going to say no to that, because then and now they've got a no money left on the table policy. So I don't know. I think, to be truthful, it's going to be complicated to trade Trout. If they want to get trading on Trout, Trout's going to have to initiate it. I think because I don't think they're going to voluntarily trade Trout because he's the only thing that makes the Angels worth watching, aside from Ohtani.
I was going to say, well, I would argue that. Yeah. But I think you got teams like the Dodgers, the Mets, those two teams specifically that have proven that they're going to do whatever it takes. And I could see them, especially the Dodgers, want Ohtani. They're going to hold out everything for him. Mm-hmm. I think that once and if Ohtani's becomes unavailable, then that's when you could see something. The Angels have to do something. They have to do something,
and that's where the Dodgers are at their best here. Yep. The Mets don't have the farm system to make the move that would intrigue the Angels. Dodgers do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the Dodgers definitely do. I've got a surprise team for everybody, and I was listening to this on AJ Przinsky's podcast, Foul Territory. A surprise team I can see possibly making a move at him would be the Seattle Mariners. And just hear me out. No, they need help. I think they need another arm. I don't think they'll do it at the deadline, but I could see it happening during free agency. I mean, this is the same team that made that move and made Robinson Cano a one-man wrecking crew. And gave him, like, because the Yankees were only going to pay him 160 plus. He wanted 300 plus, and he only got 240 plus from Seattle. Mm-hmm. And Seattle didn't really do much of anything when he was there. I see it because, number one, aside from J-Rod, I think they need something to feature. I think, number two, the fans know that, you know, they at least want to, I think the ownership of, you know, the current ownership of the Seattle Mariners should at least show the fans that they have the courage to win, because right now I don't see them having the courage to go all in and win. You know, there's plenty of money to be spent. You know, they still get their Nintendo money. Say what you will about Nintendo, but I think, you know, I don't think Ohtani wants to play on the East Coast, even though Ohtani knows he could make. Ohtani knows that if he goes to a place like New York, the guy's endorsement deals aren't even going to touch what he makes on a contract. And I think Seattle will give him the opt-outs that he wants in order to give him the freedom and go find a winner. I'm not sure if ring chasing is the right word, but he could very well do that. I think Ohtani wants to be near home in Japan. And, you know, I think the only candidates I see making a move at him are the Dodgers, who, you know, they let everyone go and they in preparation for Ohtani, but, you know, they seem to be still humming along quite nicely. Yeah. You know, say what you want about their offseason, but they have Andrew Friedman up in there, who comes from the Tampa Bay Rays, who knows how to show restraint and then knows how to spend. Although he's looking really smart with them, the Trey Turner move. That's really the only teams I could see having a chance at him. I'd be surprised if Ohtani goes east, because I don't think he wants that kind of pressure.
I agree.
And the West Coast team.
I agree as well. So like I said, Dodgers, come on home.
Seattle, remember, has the opportunity to send Ichiro in and say, hey.
That's right, because they could speak face-to-face without an interpreter.
They have Ichiro on speed dial. Ichiro will do anything to help Seattle. He still does. They have him on speed dial there. You need a little guidance on what to do when your first free agency outside of Japan. You know, Ichiro's your guy.
Yeah, and maybe the Las Vegas Athletics make a run to try to sell tickets. I don't think he'd go there, but they got the cap space. Let's put it that way. Not cap space, but the
I'd be I'd pay I would watch pay. I would pay for pay per view to watch. I think Ben Frost, their GM, there. I would pay. I would watch pay per view for him to pitch the idea to John Fisher.
Yeah. all right. So, give me one name. Just one name that you expect to see that you haven't already mentioned. If you've got one that you expect to see moved at some point between now and the trade deadline.
Herman Marquez. Great pitch. Terrific pitcher in Colorado. I mean, yeah, his ERA is inflated, but that's because he's pitching in the thin air in Colorado. But look at his ERA outside of Colorado. That guy, even in Colorado, he's gone toe-to-toe with some ace pitchers. I think give him the right situation, Colorado will be able to get a haul in return, and they can actually do a rebuild, not this what are we doing thing, kind of like what the Red Sox are doing by pulling a Chaim Bloom. I think I could see Herman Marquez being moved. Also up CJ Krohn. I know they've tried to move him, but they haven't got the return they've wanted.
Yeah.
He needs to get off the IL first.
Right.
Yeah. I'm an anti-CJ Krohn guy. I think he's a good player. There was a time where I would have wanted him in Milwaukee, but nonetheless. Alex Cobb is the name that I'll bring up from San Francisco. I think San Francisco's that you said it. They're in the middle, so there's a chance that they could unload some guys, or there's a chance they could try to bring in some guys. They did not succeed this offseason the way they intended to do, and ended up with Conforto basically instead of Correa. So at the end of the day, I think San Francisco is going to sell some guys. They've got a lot of unrestricted free agents, a lot of guys with options as well. So I think they're going to move some people here at the deadline or close to it. Kevin, anybody that you would say if I think one guy's getting moved, this is who it is?
You mentioned the Rockies. I think a guy that they could move would be Chris Bryant. That's a signing that they made that has not worked out for either side. But he's a guy who obviously has been in the playoffs. He knows how to win. So perhaps they can move out from that underneath that mistake and get something back for him. So Chris Bryant is a guy I would think would be high on their to sell list.
It's a big contract too.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it didn't work out. But when he goes to the bank, I guess you could say it worked out for him. But
worked out for him just fine, yeah.
Yeah, but if he's still looking to win, then that did not work at all. So
it never was.
There's the guy that they could move that, like I said, does have the pedigree in the playoffs. He's shown it. So somebody would be interested in him.
Yeah. All right, Eric, tell the fine folks where they can find you at on social media. And, of course, all your articles on bellyupsports.com.
Yes, you can find me on my Twitter, at Sports Team News, where I'm talking everything sports. And then you can find my articles on bellyupsports.com.
He's Eric Katz. This is the second time he's been on the program. Eric, right. Stuff, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yep. No problem. Always great to have you.
All right, we'll be right back with our next segment. Of course, the call to the pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Go to righteousfelon.com and use the code BELLYUP for your 15% off. Let's head into our final segment of the day, the Fantasy Focus. All right, Kevin, we come into the Fantasy Focus segment where we focus in on our ads and drops for the week. I've got three locks for this week that someone can pick up and help their team immensely. And I think it goes further than this week. I actually have guys that I think could be on your roster for the rest of the year. And that's an odd thing to say when we're at the end of May, beginning of June. But I think there's some waiver wire acquisitions that can help your team long term. And then I've got some drops as well. So let's start with the additions. And Kevin, I'll let you start. Who should we add this week?
Who we should add is a guy who previous in the season, I added him, then I dropped him. You said, whoa, Nelly, why are you dropping that guy? And he did kind of struggle, but he is back. And that is Lane Thomas, the outfielder for the Washington Nationals. He currently has a 13-game hitting streak. So he is doing it. Just about everything you can hitting .289, 8 homers, 26 RBIs, 34 runs scored. He has 116 fantasy points. And except for today, he has fantasy points just about every game. and he's at 16.8% owned. So if you're looking for a guy who is universally owned, and one of the things I found out that if on ESPN and Yahoo is a gigantic difference about who, you know, the ownership percentages. I have nothing to do with Yahoo, so I'll take their word for that, because they're all like, oh, everybody's, you talked about his own. Well, 16.8%, I'm pretty sure his, you know, wherever your station, he is available. However, not in our league, so don't do it, because I have him. And so, but yeah, so 16.8% owned, and he's the ninth ranked outfielder in baseball, in fantasy.
Yeah.
So go and get him if you're not in our league. Pick him up. He is on fire.
Yeah, and I think he holds more value in points leagues than cats leagues, but he is – I love him. I think for a national, yeah. And that's hard to say about
It's hard to talk about nationals and, you know, speak flowery of them. But Lane Thomas is a guy that we can certainly speak and be rosy about him, because he's just swinging the bat.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a guy that we actually talked about before we came on live. We were talking with Eric before the show started, and he brought up this guy, and I had him on my list. He's currently listed as a first baseman and third baseman for the Cincinnati Reds, Spencer Steer. He's owned in 16.3% of leagues. He's batting .280, has 6 home runs. He had a great series against St. Louis last week, scoring 14 points across 3 games. He's playing regularly, and he's having plenty of success in the points leagues. He's over 100 points. He's putting up points on a regular basis. He's playing regularly. He is the future. If you read Eric's article that comes out tomorrow on Joey Votto, he's going to talk about Spencer Steer there. But he is a guy you can add now. And I believe you, depending on how deep your league is, I guess, if you're in an 8-man league, you don't need Spencer Steer on your team. But if you're in a 12-man league, Spencer Steer is a guy who can benefit you for the rest of the season. So add him now before everybody else catches on.
Plus, you got to give him credit. Spencer Steer, that's a great name.
That's a good baseball name. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
It's a good baseball name, a good wrestling name. All right, who else should we add,
Kim? All right, so another player that I have who may – well, he's not as universally owned, but I usually use about 50% owned and below. And this guy is right underneath that. And I'm talking about Jorge Soler of the Miami Marlins. And he went 0-for-4 today, but that broke up. He had home runs in 5 straight games. And part of that because he played in Colorado. But over the weekend, he was over in L.A. And that is not the hitting environment that Colorado is. But still, he hit home runs. And anything that you like, he gives that to you. He's hitting the ball all over the place, but he's also scoring runs. He had 2 runs in 2 games this week. So if Jorge Soler is available, go and get him and ride him and as long as this hot streak lasts, because there's 5 straight games at the home run. Who does that?
Yeah.
So if he's available, get him.
I agree. I'm going to transition to pitchers.
Okay.
This guy is making his season debut tomorrow for the Atlanta Braves. Michael Soroka, coming from being injured. He's only owned in 4.8% of leagues. And usually I'm a little worried about guys coming in for their debut coming off an injury, but he's pitching against the Oakland A's. Get Michael Soroka on your team tonight. Start him tomorrow. My guess is you're going to get 5 to 6 innings out of them. You're going to get a handful of strikeouts, and you're probably going to get a win because they're playing Oakland. So now's the time. Put them in there. Get them on your team now. He's going to be limited on innings throughout the rest of the season. They're going to be very cautious with him, but I think he's going to give you enough value at this point in the league. If you need pitching, it's hard to find a guy like Michael Soroka out there. So go with Michael Soroka this week. Get him on your roster. And I'll tell you, Kevin, I'm in a league. It's a 12-man league. I had Soroka on my roster for about 3 weeks because they were going to bring him up a while back.
And I've heard about the back and forth. Well, they're bringing him up. Well, then they didn't bring him up. Then they're going to bring him up. Then they didn't. But so finally, we are at the point where.
I finally did. But I dropped him. Dropped him last week because I needed the spot. I needed the roster spot. Get another guy. All of a sudden, I see he's starting on Monday. I go to pick him back up, and somebody else in the league. I was like, I've held this guy for 3 weeks. I deserve to have him. But anyways, I missed out on that league. But I've added him in our league, and I think he's going to be a good addition moving forward, too. Who else you got to add?
Okay, so I'm gonna switch over to pitching as well, and it's a guy I talked about last week, and you mentioned him, why I didn't start him today. And that's Yuri Perez of Miami, Miami, another Miami guy. So, you know, Miami is another team that we could have mentioned while we were talking to Eric about selling. They're not selling Yuri Perez. Okay. So you don't have to worry about that. And at some point they're going to have to be concerned about his innings, but that is not right now. And so he's at 29.7% owned. He got past his Colorado start, as I mentioned last week. And so he pitched against the Angels. No runs, two hits. He did walk four, which is a concern because that's seven walks in his last two games. But aside from that, everything's been coming up positive. And the best news that you could possibly get about Yuri Perez is his next opponent would be the Oakland A's.
There you go.
So, there's not a more, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but any time, you know, you're looking ahead, check and see who Oakland's playing. Yeah. And if there are pitchers going up against them, claim them. If there are hitters that are available going up against them,
yeah,
claim them. And that's right. How you are going to consistently be pretty solid in fantasy, because Oakland is just ridiculously bad.
We had a guy in our league dropped Michael Harris, and Michael Harris has not been good. Michael Harris, because I know the next 3 days he's playing Oakland, and I was like, if Michael Harris is going to get going, this is the time to do it. So I claimed him, added him onto
my team. So if you take nothing else away from this episode,
go look at who's available for Atlanta.
Whoever's playing Oakland and they're available, get them, start them, and then as soon as they're done playing them, then you can cut them and add somebody else.
Yep. But, so add your Braves for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Add your Marlins for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you'll be sitting pretty for this week, scoring all kinds of points. And my next addition is another Atlanta Brave, because they're playing Oakland this week. Jared Schuster, the starting pitcher, still only owned in 4% of leagues, blows my mind. His last two starts have been really good outings, 11.2 innings, 12 strikeouts, four earned runs, four walks. He has been solid and shown some really good stuff as well. And again, he's going to start Wednesday against Oakland. And I'm telling you, you're crazy if you're not picking up Soroka for tomorrow and Schuster for Wednesday. They're going to have great games, guaranteed wins. I mean, this Oakland team is so bad. When I saw Schuster and Soroka available in our league, I went and got both of them. And so they're both on my roster for this week. I got to push through and see how they do for me this week, but I'm confident in Schuster. I'm confident in Soroka. And I think both of them can be on my roster for the rest of the season, possibly, depending on how things go for them.
All right. So one last guy I'm going to mention, and that's a guy who I believe was around when they walked on the moon, and that's Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, I looked at him. Yeah.
Okay. And the reason being, and if, you know, you can't get anybody that's facing Oakland, then look, see who's playing Kansas City, because that's almost the same. Not quite, though, but almost the same. And he's going up against Kansas City. In fact, he's doing it tomorrow. So that gets your week off, I would say, to a great start. He's at 10% owned, and he hasn't been overwhelming. He's only pitched in 5 2/3 is the longest he's pitched this year, so he's done that in his last two games. And so 10 and 13 fantasy points in his last two, so I would expect at least that many going up against Kansas City, and they're doing it at home. So Kansas City as soon as, well, they stink no matter where they're playing, but once they hit the road, you know, they've got nothing but square wheels on their vehicle. Yeah. So Adam Wainwright is a player I would look at, and I don't know who is, because he starts Monday. He would have a 2-start week. I'm not advocating that just yet, but tomorrow, go and get him.
I'll give you one more pitcher, too, from Houston. J.P. France, owned in 6.6% of leagues. He had a great game against Milwaukee this past week. He starts tomorrow also against Minnesota. He's got 18 strikeouts. He's 1-1 on the season, 3.43 ERA. Came up as a result of the injuries there in Houston and has looked really solid so far. So, again, a guy with potentially 2 starts this week, depending on his matchup. A guy that can help you out this week. Start your week off right. Get ahead in some of these leagues and start it off right with some solid pitching that's available in over 95% of leagues. So go out and get these guys.
There you go.
Let's get the drops. I have 3 drops this week, Kevin. 2 of them at one time have been you've mentioned as additions, and this has been weeks ago. And maybe the third one. I don't think the third one though that you've ever mentioned. I know I haven't mentioned him. Either, but
I know the first one that I have, I mentioned him. I actually picked him up, but it's time to hit the bricks.
All right, who is it?
That would player would be James Ottman of my Los Angeles Dodgers. Okay, and the way he started out, it looked like he was going to be the rookie of the year in the National League. But I'm looking at the stats right now. You know how many hits he had this past week? Can you just guess? That would be Squadoosh.
0.
At 0 hits, all right? And the last game he played today, he was 0-for-3, and he struck out 3 times. Okay? And then against Atlanta earlier in the week, he was 0-for-4 and had 3 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a single – it's all negative points right now, so – It's a shame. I really, you know, because he plays for the Dodgers, and I want to be excited. However, don't take advantage of my fandom, so to speak. So James Ottman needs to go. He's at just about 50% owned. That needs to be down around 20 by tomorrow.
Yeah, he's on my list too. He has scored 0 or negative points in 11 of his last 13 games.
You just can't get away from that.
You got to get rid of it. There are outfielders out there.
It doesn't matter. I'm as big a Dodger fan as you'll find. But like I said, he was on my team.
Yeah.
And I was happy to pick him up. And I was like, yay. And then, you know, flashing lights all over the place. Look who I picked up. But now the flashing lights are all turned off. And, you know, we're saying the final prayers for him. So it's time for him to go.
Yeah, so we agree on him, James Ottman, whatever, however you say his last name for the
Dodgers. Yeah, Ottman, but he's, it's exactly what he is, the out man.
He's out, man. The other guy that I have is outfielder from Oakland, Brent Rooker. He was doing so good for so long.
Another guy that was really burning the place up.
Oh, man, he was. Negative points in 9 of his last 14 games, negative points. And he had 0 in 1 game and 1 point in 1 game. So that's 11 out of 14 games that he scored 1 or less. It's just painful. Again, he's on a horrible team, but he was able to overcome that early on. And right now it just
– He did. And he was all over the place at the top of the leaderboard in just about every category. But that was what he did, you know, last week, week before, whatever it was.
That's 2 weeks worth of games. It's not good. It's not good. So if you have – Brent Rooker on your team, it's time to let him go. It's time to move on and find somebody else. Keep an eye on him, sure. Maybe he comes back around, but that team's bad. I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, so only 10 people are seeing him play anyway, so you don't need to be one of them. All right, so another player I have is unfortunate because that's on your team, the Milwaukee Brewers. Jesse Winker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you know how many hits he had this week? That would be 1.
How many at-bats did he have this week?
How many at-bats? Okay, hold on. So 4, 6, 9, 13, 16. He was 1 for 16 this past week. And his points were 0, 0, -1, -1, -2.
Yeah.
That's got to stop. Yeah. So, and I know you love your Brewers and everything else, but Jesse Winker, and he's owned in our league, unbelievably enough, he's got to go. He has got to. He was a player I thought was going to do something for your guys, but he has not. And the experiment we're coming into June needs to end.
I wasn't against Winker coming on the team, but I was skeptical at the same time. He was so good in Cincinnati. Things did not pan out when he left Cincinnati. There was potential. There still, I guess, is potential. But I've watched a lot of Brewers games this year. Winker, Voit. I mean, those guys just haven't done it. They bring in Darren Ruff here recently to basically take over that role now. They got guys like Owen Miller that are hitting like crazy. So they're finding it in other places. And Winker is just, man, it's just not working. And I'm curious to see if they drop him, wave him, whatever. I don't know that he's going to stick around because they got to have bats on that team. You got Luis Urias coming back soon from injury. They need a roster spot for him. I don't see Winker surviving the season in Milwaukee.
No, with the way come on, give the guy, his graciously give him his walking papers, and so he needs to go. Maybe
they can get a bullpen piece or something. I don't know, but yeah, it's not going to work in Milwaukee, and I don't have any hope for him the rest of the season. I agree, get rid of him. I bet. I'm guessing Brendan has him. Maybe not. He was a Reds fan.
I just canceled Christmas on him. So, CIN is the initials, if you know who that is.
Yeah, that's the Reds fan. That makes sense. Okay. Brendan Myers is the
guy. Okay, so Brendan, if you're listening to watching our show, cut him.
I don't care. Keep them. Go ahead.
Well, so since you're in our league, if you want to go ahead and keep them, that's fine with us. But,
come on. No. And I've got a pitcher that we need to get rid of. Oh, I'm sorry. It's your turn. No, you just did Winker.
Yeah, I just did. I've got
a pitcher we need to get rid of. You say Kikuchi from Toronto. 4 of his last 5 have been single-digit points. He has scored 0 against Boston, 22 against Pittsburgh, 6 against Atlanta, 2 against Baltimore, 0 against Tampa, 6 against Atlanta, and 0 against Tampa. Kikuchi is just not where it needs to be. I had a hard time. I was looking at pitchers trying to figure out for this segment, and honestly, pitchers have kind of leveled out a little bit.
They have.
And so I don't know there's a ton of guys that I'm willing just to throw away right now, but Kikuchi's a guy. I don't think he should be on a roster. I don't have down. I think he's only on like 21% of rosters or something. But he's a guy that I don't think should be on rosters. And so I put him in the drop list this week.
Okay. So one last guy that I have to drop is unfortunate as well, as he also plays for my Los Angeles Dodgers. Uh-oh. And of course I'm talking about Noah Syndergaard. An absolute disaster this guy has been. And so going up against Tampa, you can have a little sympathy, I suppose. Sure. But not 6 runs on 8 hits. Okay. 6 runs, 8 hits. Can't have that. And so his 6.27 ERA is not cutting it. And so you have to wonder how long the Dodgers are going to keep trotting this guy out there. And so
that's a great point, Kev, because we've
seen teams. He's not pitching for me. Noah Syndergaard will have nothing to do with Team Wilson.
Yeah, we saw Boston do it with Kluber, where they sent him to the bullpen.
They sent him to the bullpen, and so
high ERAs this year. A lot of really high ERAs this year. Syndergaard, it's sad that he isn't what he used to be.
So Thor, it's kind of like in the movie where what was it? Hela destroyed his hammer. And so then, I have no power now. Uh-oh. Yeah. And so, so he needs to go back to Asgard and, find the fountain of Odin or somewhere. So it's not working.
Next week on our rewatchable podcast, Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a tough spot to be in for sure. Our fantasy focus segment every week is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, the greatest fantasy advice you can find for NHL, NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball is found on BellyUpFantasySports.com, including all of Kevin Wilson's articles. What's the next thing you got coming out? You doing something this week? I know you're going out of town right now.
Yeah, I will have something alive this week. I can't say exactly what that'll be at this point, because as you said, I've been away, and after working, was it 3 or 4 weekends in a row, I deserve to get away, so that's what I'm doing. I will have an article sometime going into, you know, in baseball, because that's where I focus in on, and so and Reddit, if you're watching, if you're one of my Reddit subscribers out there, they're the ones that pointed out to me that Yahoo is significantly different than ESPN. So what information I'm going to take from that, I'm not exactly sure. I don't even know if I can – do you have to be a member of a Yahoo team to find out what the percentages are? I don't know. I would suspect that you would have to be. But I'm going to find out about that. But there will be an article – and I just want to put out that on Wednesday is the NBA Finals Belly Up Super Show.
Okay.
That's going to be out there. And it starts at 5:00 Central, which I cannot participate with that. That's, you know, we're not over there where time begins like you are. But I will be involved in that show at some point.
Okay.
And so I guess today we might find out, is it going to be Miami or not?
Tomorrow we find out.
Well, you know, because Miami wins today.
No, they play tomorrow.
They play tomorrow. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so by Wednesday we'll know who's playing. Is it Miami? Is it Boston? Did they come back from 150-0, you know, deficit? And so, so Wednesday I will be on that show at some point. So look forward to seeing that.
On the YouTube page, correct?
Yes.
All right, Belly Up YouTube page is there. I'll have a Power Rankings article drop tomorrow is the plan. And what I've done up to this point in the season, I've ranked them just off what they did in the week. So they've fluctuated a lot because I've been doing how they just did in the previous 7 days. Now we'll transition. We're far enough into the season. We know what teams are. So now we'll transition to season-wide Power Rankings and look ahead the rest of the season there as well. That should drop tomorrow morning on bellyupsports.com. Kevin's articles are on bellyupfantasysports.com. I also wrote an article. I know this is a baseball show. I wrote an article this week on is it time for LeBron James to tuck tail and run?
I saw that, and I enjoyed that article. So
thank you.
If get over there, check it out. It's good reading.
Thank you. I don't write much basketball stuff, but I have a lot of opinions on LeBron James, and I've been thinking about that, so drop that one this week as well. So you can get that.
I'm not one of the ones that's crying that he is not in the NBA Finals.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not. He's Kevin Wilson. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin62, WILSEA. I'm Vince Stover. You can find me at Sports Stove on Twitter and Instagram. You can, if you missed any part of this show, you can watch it on the Sports Stove YouTube page, listen to it wherever you get your podcast for the Sports Stove podcast, or also on the Belly Up Fantasy Facebook page. All my other episodes will be on this YouTube page, or again, the audio podcast as well. Wednesday, my dad will join me. We'll continue to talk all the latest news, including NBA Finals. We'll talk Major League Baseball news and any other news that comes down the line as well. Next Sunday, we should be right back here. Us and a guest. Right. We'll be with someone and talking fantasy baseball again next week, and looking forward to that. All right. Anything else we need to add, Kevin?
Oh, in fact, we do not, and you're correct. The game starts tomorrow at 7:30 and Central once again, okay, because that's where I am. So, yeah, so the game tomorrow, we'll see what happens.
See what happens. All right, we're in for a big baseball week. Make sure you go out and get your Atlanta Braves for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and your Marlins for Thursday, Friday, Saturday to live it up against the Oakland A's this week. And remember, Vince and Kevin told you so. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
That's right.